I know when I had to carry a dog.
Ah.
And Gypsy, Marge Eager's little yappy Pomeranian.
Yeah.
She was, it was Chowsy. Damn dog tried to bite me every night. I'm going to say that because Marge Eagle, that dog's long dead. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are theater geeks.
Hey there, this is Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. How do you keep the theater from going to the dogs?
Or the cats.
Or the cats. That's our topic for today. We realized that we had never talked about this before. It was kind of one, you know, we think we've talked about everything, and we're coming up on 5 years as one of the top podcasts.
Are you kidding?
On theater on the inner tubes.
Yeah, yes. Just saying.
Five years. One of the top 20 podcast on theater. That's okay. Right. I'll say it again. I've said it before.
Wait, I'll blow my own
and
horn.
Anyway, that, yes, but we think we've talked about everything and we realized we'd never really talked about putting animals on stage.
Nope.
And we have done it. Most community theaters have to face this issue every once in a while.
Because everybody does Annie.
Or the Wizard of Oz. Or even The Wiz has a dog in it.
Yep.
You can't take it with you.
And you can't take it with
has
you.
Has kittens.
It has kittens? Okay. I forgot about that, but you're right.
Yep.
Dealing with animals has pitfalls and issues. I guess the one that is probably maybe one of the more apparent ones is that what if the animals don't like you very much?
Oh, that happens.
Or if they are frightened, that can cause some issues. We've had a Toto or two who has decided that perhaps relieving yourself on the front of the stage was not.
Yeah.
During performance might be a good idea. And that's happened. And so, I don't know. What's the key to, there's never a guarantee, but what's the key to being successful with animals on stage?
Well, one of the keys is having, if you don't have somebody in your theater that's a trainer, is to have somebody who is a trainer come to train. I know when we did Annie the first time and our original Sandy was a dog from the pound that they found at the pound and they trained, but it was a long process. It was trained. The dog went home with Annie so that was kind of part of the whole process. And the little girl's family knew that the dog would be coming home for 2 weeks with her,
right?
So that it would bond and would be willing to watch her hand gestures and stuff and be aware of that. So, yeah, but it took a really good trainer to work not just with the dog, but also with the actor, because the actor has to be trained as well.
Yeah, the dogs really have an animal of any kind needs to get acclimated to the people that it's going to be handled by, or else it's kind of tough. And probably dogs are a little easier than cats.
Yeah,
probably.
But the last Annie that I saw, Annie had one end of a long, long rope, and I mean it wasn't just, and she was pulling the dog onto the stage with her, and it obviously didn't want to come. And she just would never let go of that rope. And it kind of ruined this, Sandy loves Annie kind of thing. Because he obviously didn't want to be around her. But I think dogs, because John talking about trainers, and obviously dogs you can train, cats you can't.
Not as
that
easily.
I know of.
You can acclimate cats, but you can't you don't necessarily train them.
That's
it takes
always,
a longer time.
That's
too.
Always the pitfall of doing Bell, Book, and Candle, because you need a Siamese cat that will love Jillian.
Well, we had funny you should mention that, because I directed a production of this of What About Six
I love
years
it.
Ago.
I mean, I
it's
love
a wonderful
the show.
Show, and we had a Siamese cat named Elmer, who became
Piwacket. Well, no wonder he had a name like Elmer. I had a Siamese cat, and his name was Piwacket.
But Piwacket is the character cat
I
in the
know.
Play. And the problem is, I don't know. I did not name Elmer.
I
so
know you didn't.
It is not my fault. But Elmer was... he was an okay cat. He was all right, but he didn't really want to be on stage for very long. And our actress... she handled the cat and he was okay. And this is where your friendly neighborhood veterinarian can come in. And as a matter of fact, I my father was the friendly neighborhood veterinarian at the time, and I was able to get some tranquilizer pills, and I know how to pill a cat, so I was able to.
We drugged
the cat down just about an hour before, and he was fine. And some nights it was better than others. There were a few nights he got very talkative on stage, which Siamese do. But tranquilized, it wasn't too bad, and he didn't have to be on stage a lot. But he had to be there. It wasn't what it's not a character you can cut. Neither is Toto.
No, you can't.
No, neither is Toto. I mean, no. some people decide to cut the dog aspect of that altogether and just use a person in a dog suit. It's been done. But I mean, I would prefer to see a real dog on stage. But you know, last time, well, we've done The Wizard of Oz here three times now. Ooh,
yes,
and I know the first time the piano player was sitting in the front of in the front of the stage on the floor, but and the dog just did not for some reason really like the piano player, and one night the dog just walked right over and turned around and boom, took a number two right on the stage right in front of the piano.
Oh my Lord.
So you know, it's like you never know what to
and
do,
you right? think you're a critic.
Yeah, really.
But wow. One of the things that I have found though is that, you know, of course dogs have special treats and things that they like, and you can
bribe them,
but there comes a point where they just don't want to do it anymore, and you kind of have to be aware of that. And maybe two dogs is the direction to go sometimes, because when you have a matinee in the afternoon and then an evening performance, the dog gets tired. And then when they do four shows over a weekend or five shows in a weekend, you know, and they've done six dress rehearsals or whatever, they're tired just like the rest of us are. But dogs don't know they can't turn around and do
right.
that.
And you can't reason with you can't reason with a canine.
And usually. It's a reason why we only work with 8-year-olds and up, is because 8-year-olds usually know they can't turn around and do that in the middle of the stage. But so, you know, you end up dragging the dog across the stage, so you can't really make it a dust mop. And so there has to be contingency plans. If you don't have a second dog, then there has to be a contingency plan. You know, what do you do if the dog won't obey? You know, or just decides it doesn't want to move. And so, you know, with Wizard of Oz, it's easy because Dorothy can pick the dog up, put it in her basket, do whatever she needs to do to keep the dog with her.
Well, sometimes it's not that easy, because in Gypsy, when Rose makes her first entrance down the aisle in the kiddie show, she's carrying her dog, Chowsy, and the dog that I was carrying. And I love animals, but this dog was I think it was a Pekingese, and it just tended to nip. Oh, I couldn't wait to get rid of that dog. I mean, literally, I'd give it to Uncle Jocko and never take it back.
Yeah.
Well, so it's hard to deal with them, because you're worrying about the dog, you know, and then and you can't take it with you. The opening scene calls for a basket, a knitting basket that has kittens in it while she's writing her murder play or whatever
it is.
And they're supposed to be on her desk. Well, kittens are kittens, and you can't keep them quiet. And I remember that, what's her name, that played Mrs. the mother in that, she had one hand on the typewriter and the other hand on the kittens, to try and keep them from getting out of the basket and all over the stage.
Well, one of the other things too, especially when you're dealing with smaller animals, right, kittens especially, but any animals, it seems to me, and the person who's really the expert probably ought to be here in a way, Amy, our friend who's the animal behaviorist, I believe she might tell us that you limit the number of people that actually handle the animals. Kittens are very vulnerable.
Yeah.
If you have a play, especially with kids in it, they're all going to want to play with the animal.
I know, they
and
did.
And the animal really needs to be, kind of responsible to one person or one or two people.
That's right.
And the animal cannot be everybody's pet. It doesn't work.
It can't. No, normally what you would do with any animal on stage, at least a warm-blooded animal, we haven't talked about snakes yet, is that there's a day, usually one evening, where the dog comes to the rehearsal and the dog can be loved by everybody. And that's the last time until the end of the show that the dog's allowed to be loved by everybody.
Yeah.
After that, it's only the person who's working with the animal or the trainer the actor or the trainer that gets to work with the animals after that, because it's exactly right. They need to be able to bond to that one person and respond only to that person. You know, if the dog looks to the wing and sees 30 people in the wing waiting to make their entrance. And they're all moving their hair around or adjusting their boobs in their bra or, you know, pulling up their, down their underwear because, you know, the guy's got it. Anyway, they're seeing all these hand gestures. That's right. I'm looking at you, Dave, pulling down underwear.
Pulling down your underwear.
But
I never do that.
But what I'm saying is that they're seeing all these gestures. They have to know which one of those people they're looking to. And they can't be distracted right. by the others. And so they have to be able to zero in on Annie or whoever that person is. Yeah. And they see her hand gesture, which is the stay or the sit or, you know, the come. And they need to know that that's the person they're responsible to.
And that's really hard because if a dog has not been trained, and I know a couple of times we've gotten Toto's or Sandy's from the shelter.
We almost always work with the Humane Society.
Okay. Yeah. It takes really more than 2 weeks to train a dog.
It does.
So you figure you'd have to have them for at least 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
To even begin so they would know to respond to
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And
you
one know? And the last time, the middle time that we did The Wizard of Oz, the Toto came from the Humane Society. And he ended up being a chipped dog. Nobody had checked for a chip.
Oh my God.
And so, halfway through the rehearsal process, the family came to the Humane Society and said, "Have you found our dog?" And they said, "Well, we think it's at Elkhart Civic Theater." And we were going to go through an adoption process with the dog after the show was over. That's always part of the process with us, which is kind of a nice. It's a great way to build awareness for the Humane Society,
right, yeah.
as well as for the organization that, you know, you're doing an adoption kind of situation after the show is over. And of course they have to be vetted by the Humane Society yeah. before they're allowed to take the animal. But, and then the third time we did it, we used the same dog because it was already trained. But at that point we weren't allowed to keep the dog now. So the dog stayed with his family. And then only in the last 2 weeks were we able to have the dog stay with the Dorothy. And because of that, there was some, the dog didn't necessarily want to respond as well to the Dorothy because
it had gotten used to being back home.
It had gotten used to
being
in its own
situation. But it's nice that you were at least able to use the animal at all. I mean, that's kind of neat. I didn't know this story.
Yeah, but we also, we've always been pretty successful with You Can't Take It With You. Our kittens came from the Humane Society.
They are mm-hmm. so
and they were,
cute.
They were a family of kittens.
But WC and, Fields is right. Never get on stage with animals or children.
But
no one will see you.
Yeah. But the kittens, you know, we had their pictures. We took each one of their pictures individually. They were in the lobby.
So
there was a little note, you know, if you'd like to adopt one of the kittens, you know, you can do that by calling the Humane Society. And each one of those kittens was adopted. And it's just, it was kind of a fun
That's
thing
nice.
To do. But yeah, kittens, especially a basket of kittens, it's like wrangling. What is
I
that?
Know.
What's that phrase?
Wrangling I don't know.
A basket of kittens. I don't know.
It's like
corralling a basket of
corralling
kittens.
Cats.
Yeah. So,
but cats and dogs are not too bad. But, and I think the main shows that people have to worry about are Annie and Wizard of Oz because they're so popular.
Yeah,
right.
Very popular.
And that's always, you got to deal
with
it.
You Can't Take It With You also has snakes on stage.
Well, they don't have to be real snakes.
No, they don't. But I have done a show where there's a real snake where the
yes,
person
well,
has
I
to handle a snake.
Well, I certainly never saw it.
Well, you have to worry about other things too, like bacteria and things that some animals have that humans don't have. And I don't know. Cats and dogs usually, I don't think we worry as much. Of course, there's allergies. But
yeah.
Reptiles have stuff on them.
Reptiles are disgusting.
That is, yes, right.
So, well, and I mean, just, and people have a natural, well, I don't know if it's a natural or in what is it?
Aversion.
Unnatural aversion to snakes, but you know, it's hard to, what is the name of that show? I cannot think of it from
Talking With,
but there's, I can't remember the name of the monologue, but
yeah,
it's about a woman who is part of a religious snake handling cult or religion. And she handles a snake all the way through the show and finding
well,
a snake.
Well, let's say
then,
all the way through the show, she does one monologue.
Right.
As in a list of 8 or 9
But
monologues.
She has to be willing to handle a
snake.
Well,
right. But all through the show is through one monologue.
Well, yeah, but
not
it's
through
10, 15
hours.
Minutes. So.
Handling a snake is not difficult if you're used
to
it.
Oh, God.
No, but it's just that initial, a lot of people have that aversion and having to break the aversion to the to
I have to tell this
snake.
Story that when Dee Dee was in summer stock at Hope, 1 year, she was in You Can't Take It With You, and she was playing the maid.
Mm-hmm.
10, she had to walk by the sideboard to set the big table. And on the sideboard was a glass, like a terrarium. And there were initially live snakes in there, garter snakes. She absolutely would not walk past it. They had to put rubber snakes in there to get her on the stage. She would not go past the snakes.
Yeah.
She gets that from me. Oh, large earthworms drive me nuts. I can't stand them. So you have to, I'm sure you would have to pay big bucks to get somebody to do what Karen, what's her name, did in Indiana Jones, which is fall into a pit full of snakes.
Yeah. I think they were all pretty harmless snakes. Of course, tarantulas is the one that would drive me nuts too. Yeah.
Handling,
now, see,
but tarantulas are not dangerous either. They have a bad reputation, but they're not. They don't bite. They rarely bite.
No, but again, it's an aversion thing. So it's about it's about getting that animal early enough. And again, you know, like a tarantula, everything I hear about handling tarantulas is it's kind of the same thing. They need to get used to one person. You know, how you handle them, how, you know, cause they're all those feelers, you know, they're on their legs. They know who you are. They know if you're comfortable or not comfortable.
I could do that. I couldn't even look at a snake.
But getting an animal early, don't wait till the last minute to get your tarantula if you need one for a show. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other shows. Listen, if you guys
Legally
out there,
Blonde right now,
if you've had any problems or worked with different kinds of animals on stage, please, get in touch with us because we'd love
to
know.
Are there cases? Horses are not typically used in stage plays much.
No, but you know, not too long ago, a local group did a production of Oklahoma.
Oh, don't
and
tell
they,
me that.
They used a real horse. And when the trainer, the horse got spooked and the trainer was knocked off the horse and severely broke her leg.
You're kidding.
Before a performance. Yeah, just before a performance. And it, I mean, that kind of thing can happen because animals can get spooked. Yeah. You know, an animal can be, you never know, a dog may suddenly react badly to applause. You know, it could happen. And there need to be contingency plans.
Or a smell that they're
place.
Not used to. I mean, there's always that kind of thing.
Smelly acting will drive a dog crazy.
That's right.
Well, of course, we did a show one time at the Shakespeare Festival where an actress was playing a dog, but
she bite you?
No, but but a real dog, it was outside in the park and a real dog came onto the stage. And that was a really great moment because she was in her moment. And so she played like a dog with the dog. She was able to get the dog off the stage because they were playing with each other like dogs. And it happened in the park.
Don't play a dog in the park.
I've had to handle mice before, and I kind of have an aversion to mice, but we did a production of Dracula.
If all you had to do was take it out of your pocket and wiggle it, couldn't you have done it with a fake mouse?
Well, but it's different because they reach up and their little hands are there, you know.
Oh,
it's,
Lord,
it's
their little hands.
Yeah, they're little,
oh, good,
they're
John.
Hands,
did you know, David, mice have hands?
Well, yeah, they do. They look like hands.
They look like hands.
mouse hands.
Well, I'm not sure how I feel about drugging an animal.
I don't.
I know if you, that people do it with their dogs, especially during fireworks season and
people
stuff.
Do it when they're taking their cats on a plane.
But it has to be done safely. And I agree completely with Dave. If you think that it's a moment where an animal needs to have a small amount of tranquilizer to stay calm on stage.
Probably better for the animal,
but
too.
It needs to be done through a vet and done correctly. You don't go out and get a Benadryl and cut a Benadryl
some
medications, people think you can just do that, but do it correctly.
Cats especially, I think dogs too, but I mean, and I'm not a veterinarian, even though I was raised by one. But the point is that dogs and cats have different physiologies and they don't respond well to some medications are toxic to animals that are not toxic to people. And so, if you were having to, tranquilizing an animal is not unsafe if you're doing it with the right dosage.
Well, it's,
and you're doing it, you know, and you're in the process of giving the animal the pill isn't hurting it. So I think you're fine that way.
It just becomes I always think it should be your last resort. If you don't need to do it, then you don't. But if, for example, if the cat that you've chosen is unruly and you cannot figure out and there's no other way to get a cat in time, then talk to a vet.
Well, unruly is one issue, too. But also if the animal is just plain frightened,
that yeah. that the tranquilizers can help. So yeah. you know, I'm less less concerned about that. So yes, I'll probably get some emails from somebody telling me I'm a terrible person.
Well, the point is, you know, Sandy can be fine going on stage and running to Annie and doing all this until you get an audience.
Right.
Then it's a whole new ballgame.
That's the other issue too,
because of all the distractions. I mean, that's another reason.
Oh, look at the doggy. Yeah,
it's another reason why you can't let the dog be loved by everybody. Because then it wants attention from everybody.
It has to have a safe spot on stage, and that's a person usually.
Every animal needs its kind of almost like its own dressing room. And I know that's kind of a weird thing to say, but when they're not on stage, they have to be treated like an employee, like an actor. But because they can't handle things coming at them, and because they need to stay focused on one person, they need their own space. So you need to find a space to allow that animal to be on their own by themselves when they're not they're not working, because they are working when they're on stage.
Right. So send us your suggestions, complaints, criticisms of this episode, or suggestions on how to handle other animals.
Send us your favorite
on stage animal story. That would be a wonderful episode to have animal stories from other theaters. What has happened
that
with your theater?
Good.
Yeah.
And so we can learn more and maybe even have a laugh or two at maybe one of your animal adventures.
Maybe animals that are not in the script. As I recall, years and years ago, they were doing a shot in the dark here at the Bristol Opera House, which is right pretty close to a riverbank. And the leading lady was on the stand in this murder trial, and a large rat ran right across the stage in front of her.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yes.
I also heard that.
She didn't scream or jump, but boy, they went after that rat. They went after the rat.
The other story.
And raccoons come in.
Well, they used to. They don't anymore.
One of the first places that they opened with this arsenic and old lace. This theater, when this is a, our theater is a 115-year-old building, and it had not been a theater for many, many years. And when it was reopened in 1960, one of the first shows they did was Arsenic and Old Lace. And I believe that it was our friend Phyllis who was standing on stage, and a bat flew in and out of the, of the stage. Maybe, I think, during a performance.
Well, the bat flies at the barn all the time, the Barn Theater. In Augusta, Michigan, it flies all the time. Now it's really fitting when they're doing like the Rocky Horror Show or something.
or Dracula.
But you can see the bat flies. It goes, swoops down across the stage and it never hurts anybody in a few swoops and it's gone.
This is
but
like
it's
a
there.
Pet bat they have in the building or something?
It's not a pet, but it's kind of become a pet because everybody knows it's there.
Yeah, they're back up on a hillside and it doesn't ever hit anybody in the audience, but it swoops.
Yeah.
And it causes quite a rustle through the crowd.
Well, the bats, when I worked at Enchanted Hills, the bats kind of became our friends too, because they would, at a certain time of night, they would just swoop.
And they eat mosquitoes,
they're your friend. But they would come down the back staircase. They had like a loop. They would come down the back staircase, out through the audience, over across the stage and back down the back staircase. And so if you had an entrance sometimes through, you would have to like crawl because they would get so close to you, you just freak out. And so we would crawl up the back staircase.
Send us your freak out stories. bats in the theater, bats in the belfry, bats animals on stage, snakes, rats, tigers,
turtles.
Elephants,
there's a show with turtles,
horses, everything else. Anyway, anything else you've got on your stage and let us know what you've done to manage that effectively and humanely. Please listen to Theater Geeks at iTunes, Apple TV, at
Stitcher?
TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, on
Blueberry
Radio, the Blueberry Network.
We've got them all down now.
And I think that's kind of everybody. Yes, and any place else. There's a whole lot of other places where we show up that we don't even know about. But just if you do a search on Theater Geeks, you will find us awfully quickly. And we're available on a number of places. Or you can just listen to us at the website, theatergeeks.com, right through your old browser.
Also, stop by our store, theatergeeks.com/store. We've got hats and mugs and cups and teddy bears and clocks. And you, I don't know, what's Marsha's favorite? What's your favorite? Know, what's your favorite?
You know, my coffee mugs. Yes, your I use it mix. Every single day.
Every single day. I love that's it. Where they, mine's sitting right
it's
over there.
It's a big mug.
Yes.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, okay.
That's it. It's mine. Good. So that's it. That's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marsha Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.